So we are continuing through the book of Romans. We are in chapter 12. We kind of introduced chapter 12 and really the last section of the book of Romans on a basically chapters 1 through 12 teaches us about salvation, the doctrine of salvation, how we're saved. And in verses in chapters 12 through 16, what Paul is requiring is that we have a response to that. And so, by way of introduction, it says, Paul recognizes that behavior must be built on belief, and that is why he gives these practical exhortations of the letter, right, that appear after his teaching of the position that we have in Christ. This salvation that we talk about in chapters 1 through 11 is set up by God, is initiated by God, and it should transform a believer's life. And so as Christians, we need to apply our learning to living, our doctrine to duty, our salvation to service. And how we do this is what Paul describes in chapters 12 through 16. And what Paul solicits here is our response towards the church as we go through verses 3 through 8 of chapter. Right, I'm improving. I did what two verses last week. I've got about four or five on this one. Okay, so, yes, we're going further. With that being said, I'm working on getting you guys an outline. You know, Pastor Wayne's always giving you an outline. If I could finish my study before 8:30 on a Sunday morning. No, just kidding. But I could get you guys an outline, supply you an outline. But as way of an outline, and I've been teaching this to the kids, and it really fits this passage. And I want everybody real quick, before we dive into Romans 3, everybody turn to 2 Timothy 3:16. This is kind of how God describes his word and how we are to apply it. And you guys should know this verse. One of the parents asked me on Thursday night. I give the kids homework, the third through eighth graders, as we meet on Thursday night. And it's to break up a passage, right? We need to observe what the passage says to us. And here is a great description of how God uses this. And it really fits the mold in when we're talking about what we're going to talk about today. Second Timothy 3:16, it says, all scripture is God, right, is given by inspiration of God. Really, the word is God-breathed. And is profitable for doctrine, and that's just teaching, for reproof. That's what's wrong with the passage, or what's not correct. For correction, and that's how to get something right. For instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. And so when I go through this with the kids, I have them break it down in four quadrants. And doctrine, what's right on a passage, what is a teaching, for reproof, what's not right or what's wrong in the passage. And not every passage has every one of these things, but when he's talking about all scripture, again, it's God's word and it's useful for us, right? This is a book written 2,000 years ago, and yet it's applicable to our lives. And it says, not only doctrine, but for reproof. So what's not right, for correction, how to get it right, and for instruction in righteousness, how to stay right. And so it really does fit the book of Romans in the fact that he teaches us doctrine, right? The belief that we need to have in salvation. And then he goes on to talk about behavior in chapters 12 through 16. And this passage alone, he's going to talk about grace, really the teaching of this passage. And then he's going to talk to us about not thinking more highly of ourselves. So that's what's wrong. Often we think more highly of ourselves. And then he's going to talk about the correction. We need to think soberly in this passage. So I'm giving you guys an outline, right? And then the last one, he talks about the training, right? And that's the idea of using the gifts that God's given us. And so this really kind of fits this passage. So I'll kind of reference back to this passage. But really how when I read the Bible, I always think of this passage and what is it teaching me? How am I going to apply it to my life? Those kind of things, right? Pastor Wayne gives you the soap, right? The scripture, the observation, the application, and then the prayer that goes with it. And I think of this passage fitting in that observation. So what is the passage teaching me? What does it tell me that it's wrong? How do I get it right? How do I stay right? So with that, let's all turn back to Romans 12. And we'll read the passage. We're going to pray and then we'll get into it. It says, "For I say, through the grace given to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are the one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministry. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness." Let's pray. Lord, again, thank you for your word. Thank you that it's God-breathed. It's inspired by you. You used 40 authors to write down 66 books that we have placed before us, and it still speaks to us this day. It's a living word. Lord, so just as we go through this, I'd ask that you would open the hearts of everyone here, that we would go away changed, that we'd hear from you. Just ask this in Jesus' name. And we all say,
Amen.
Amen. So last week, we talked about the first thing we need to respond to is God. And it's by his mercy. It's the idea that we owe him. The Bible says it's not that we loved him, but that he loved us first. And so what Paul then talks about is he has an expectation from the understanding of the gospel that we need to reply to him. He pleads to us in verse 1. And then not only that, he asks us to dedicate our bodies. And he says it's reasonable. And that's where we get the word logical from that Greek word. It's a service. It's a ministry that each one of us has. And then he goes on to talk about the fact that we are to be separate from this world. And that's the idea of not conformed by this world. And then he goes on to say that we also need to be transformed. Basically our mind being made new from the inside out. And then he goes on to say, because if we give those things, our body, our mind, and our will to God, he's going to demonstrate his will in our lives. He's going to grow us up in a relationship with him. And he goes on to say that there's a demonstration of his will. And so from there, we put God first, and then he talks about the church itself. How are we to respond to the body of believers? And he begins with grace, right? Grace is just the idea of unmerited favor, undeserved favor, something we don't deserve. Paul's testimony speaks to this in Galatians 1:16. He says, "But when it pleased God, who separates me from my mother's womb and called me through his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the Gentiles." And you guys know in Acts 9, that's exactly what happened. As Saul, his former name, was persecuting the church, God came into his life. And he became, he wrote 13 books of the New Testament and pronounced the gospel. And God used him to reach to the Gentiles. And that's just non-Jews. Right? And we all have a testimony. If we're a believer here this morning, we have a testimony from God. And when I think about the grace that God pours into each one of our lives, I always think of the verse in Ephesians 3:20. It says, "Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think." That's how he's affected each and every one of us. And through his grace, we understand, and what the Bible teaches is we become part of his body. And there's parallel passages to this, and I'll be referencing them a lot. 1 Corinthians 12, great passage to read. Ephesians 4. What 1 Corinthians 12 says, "For by one Spirit we were baptized into one body." We were placed into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free. And then we can go on from that, whether alcoholics, all the things that we were formerly, you know, and I'm speaking into my life, right? And what God does is he calls us into his body. He places us into his body. And because of that, we need to respond to that. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. And we'll talk about the church in general, but also talk about us as members of that body. Now, the purpose of the body, ekklesia, is the word in Greek. It just means to be called out. Ephesians 4:12, what I titled this is to equip and to edify his body. It's out of a passage in Ephesians 4. It says, "For the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God." And so God puts us in the body. And it's not, you guys, and a church is not defined by four walls, right? It's defined by the members in it. It's believers across this nation, across this world, right? And we get to be a part of his body. And there's only one body, and it's his. And it says, I think in Ephesians, that he's the head, that Christ is the head of that body. And the first thing he addresses, so that's really the doctrine. It's through his grace that we're placed into his body. And then he talks about what's not right. And it's the idea of thinking more highly than you ought, right? And, you know, pride can always come in. It's really changing from an outward to an outward focus from an inward focus. It's a warning that God gives. And we've seen gifts, ministries, giftings that God's given individuals, and they've taken it to a level that God never wanted them to do. And we have warnings throughout the Bible. Matthew 7, and you guys have heard this verse. But it talks about, "Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied?" And that speak forth for God. "In your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name. And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness." Again, using the gifts that God's given them. And hence here in this passage, they're not using it the way God prescribed for them. And we'll talk about that as we go through this passage. 1 Corinthians 13, and we'll hit a lot of this next week when we talk about the attitudes and marks of a Christian, attitudes of believers. 1 Corinthians 13 is all about love. Right after talking about being part of the body, it says, in order to use the gifts that God's given you, you need to do it in love. And this really contradicts the idea of thinking more highly of oneself, right? We learned in Romans 11 that we're not alone. We're not to have that Elijah complex, thinking we're the last Christian on this earth. But yet, God says he has a remnant. He has individuals that are going to go out there and continue to be used by God. And what I think about when we're talking about not thinking more highly than we ought, there's a passage describing the individuals that God uses in 1 Corinthians 1. And if you guys could turn there real quick, 1 Corinthians 1, we call this God's toolbox. What tools? Well, I've learned this from my pastor. He was a construction worker. Now, if you know a Skinner, you know that we're not really known for fixing or building anything or putting together anything. So, but I stole this from him, and it's just talking about the tools that God uses here in 1 Corinthians 1. in verses 26 through 29. It says, "For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of this world." There should be an amen there, right? Amen, right? "Chosen the weak things of this world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of this world and the things which are despised, God has chosen. And these things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence." And so God, there's God's, who God has called. Right? And I always reference, you know, God can use anything and everything. Right? We know the passage in Numbers. He uses a donkey, right, in order to speak to Balaam, right? It's Balaam. Yep, it's Balaam. But he uses a donkey, right, so he can use any one of us, right? And what God says, and he's our example in this, in Christ. It says in Philippians 2, 3 through 5, "Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." So really fixes the idea if we set our mind toward the mind of Christ, right? And we are being gifted with either ministry or gifts or activities that God describes that we're to do as believers. We're not to think more highly than we ought. But instead, and this goes on to the correction. How do we correct that? We are to think soberly. And soberly just means the idea of not being intoxicated, right? Right. We have to understand that we can't all be the same thing. He goes on in this passage, and this is verses really towards the end of verse 3. It says, let me actually read it, "But to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith." Now, this throws me fits, this measure of faith. I'm trying to figure out what that means. But he just called us to different capacities in the body of Christ. He's given us a calling, and it's all different. We're all different members. And he points this out because he compares us to a body. Now, when I always think of this passage, and I describe this when I was teaching junior high, I would always tell them I was the armpit hair. That's what God, because it has a use. But it was the idea that we're all part of the body, but it all has a use, and we're not all called to the same thing. He's given us each a measure of faith. And notice it's God-given. He starts this whole passage that it's done through grace, unmerited favor to each one of us, but it's God-given. He says in 1 Corinthians 12, it's to profit the body. And it's God-given in the fact that it's distributed to each one of us as God wills. And again, these are references to the 1 Corinthians 12 passage. And he has a calling for each one of us. We know that. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 is the great salvation passage about, for all, you guys know the passage, but it goes on to say in Ephesians 2, 10, "We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." So we're part of the body, but he has a calling distinct for each one of us. And he says, we're a body made up of many members. Like I said, we can just look at our own body. There's many members. And we all, you know, I know for most of us, we bring all those members to church. Right? Nobody left their foot home. Nobody left their, you know, we bring those members with us. And they have a function in our bodies. And the members serve the body. The body does not serve the members. right? We're called to be part of a body. If these members are not serving the body and just taking in only, we have a name for that. Right? We have cells in our body that replicate and they take in only, and it doesn't give to the body, but kills and destroys the body, and we call that cancer. Right? And all of us are familiar with that, having friends or family, having gone through that. And we're not to be a cancer. We're to be part of the body. Right? We're to pour into the body. And again, we don't all have the same function, but every part is needed. If you turn to 1 Corinthians 12 real quick, it's, again, a good parallel passage because it describes this in reference to the body. But it says in 1 Corinthians 12, 14 through 17, it says, "For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, 'Because I am not a hand, I am not of the body,' it is therefore not of the body." He's asking a question, a rhetorical question. And if the foot doesn't want to be part of the body and says, "Because I'm not a hand," again, I don't have to repeat that to you, right? You understand that. And he goes on to say, "And if the ear should say, 'Because I am an eye, I'm not an eye, am I not of the body?' Is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole body were hearing, where would be the smelling?" I just think of Monsters when he says, "If the whole body were an eye," right? Monsters, Inc., if you guys know that reference. But again, just telling us that we don't all have the same function in the body of Christ. He's given us different giftings, and we're not to feel guilty. And I talk to new believers sometimes, to individuals who, let's say, don't like to go out and street evangelize. Now, not all of us are called to do that. If you've ever been around somebody who loves to do that, you try to get on board because they're so excited. They can't wait to just go talk to strangers. I am not one of those individuals that wants to walk up to strangers. And I know the Bible calls us to share. Right? It does call us to share. Every one of us needs to share the gospel and evangelize. It does not call us all to go out in the streets, pound the pavement, and talk to people about the Lord. Right? If you get an opportunity, I would, you know, exhort you. I would want you to go try it. But we're not all called to do that, and we're not to feel guilty about that because God has different calls in your life. We're not all gifted, right? When I first came here to this church, you guys greet longer than any church I've ever been at, right? And I'm not one of those guys. I was just talking to my brother about this. I'm not one of those guys who wants to go shake everybody's hand when I get here. But it's awesome. I have grown to love it, right? I get to go see how you guys are all doing. I'm always looking for the guy who's supposed to be up here to do the announcements. Like, when is he going to get up there? I want to see how, I'm always wondering if, you know, no one ever came up here, if we would just conduct ourselves till one, just like that, as just greeting one another. But we're not all gifted in those areas. Some of us are more friendly than others. It doesn't mean we're not to be part of this body. Doesn't mean you need to not reply to someone, say hi to someone, right? And so, not to feel guilty if we're not using, we're not gifted in certain areas, but we are called to do things. We are called to share, whether you want to or not, but we don't have to do it in certain ways, as we're not gifted in those ways. And he calls us, not only do we not have the same function, but we are of one body. And there's many passages that talk about the unity that we need to have in diversity, because what we have in common is we have Christ. We have a head in common, and that's Jesus Christ. And we're not about a membership. Like I said, this body is not defined by these four walls. We have a body of believers all around this world. And this whole body is needed for the health of one another. Sometimes when I talk to individuals, when I counsel, there's four things I will ask. First thing I'll ask is if they're a believer, right? Because if they're not, I'll talk to them about that. what it means to follow Christ. But as a believer, I'll talk about the four things. Right? They need to be reading the Word. They need to be in prayer. They need to be in fellowship. And they need to be sharing Christ. And that's, again, out of a passage out of Acts 2. But when I'm talking to them about that, is a lot of times they're struggling in one of those areas. A lot of times it's, you know, they don't want to hang out at church. They don't want to be a part of a fellowship. And what I've learned about individuals who want to follow Christ is God's called you to be in a fellowship. He says that in the book of Hebrews. But if you're not, if you're a church of one, you get weird real quick. Right? If you hang out with yourself all the time, you know, I don't like hanging out with myself all the time, right? I'd get weird. Any one of us would get weird. I don't want to think about that more than I need to. But we would get weird and I say, there's a reason God calls us to be part of the body. And you're hurting the body if you're not there. Because God's gifted you in certain areas. God's given you to be a part of that body. And like I said, none of us did not come with our big toe. Hopefully nobody's missing a big toe. I'm only saying that because my dad had his big toe removed. So he'd be one of those individuals without a big toe. But we did not. We came with all our members when we came to church. Right? We're part of this body. And we're hurting if you're not here. It actually says in that 1 Corinthians, I never turned back to Romans, so I'm there. It says in verse 21, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on those we bestow greater honor, and our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it. Nobody can see my heart, right? But it's vital to my living, right? And again, as we're called to be members of the body, there's organs, there's things on my body that are vital. If I don't have my heart, I'm not speaking at this point. And that's what he's kind of talking about. There's different members that don't, right? As God's called me to be a mouth, because I'm up here teaching God's word, he's called other individuals. There's a lot of things that go on around here. And we'll talk about that. I'm getting a little ahead of myself in my study. But going on to read in verse 25, in 1 Corinthians 12, it says that there should be but our presentable parts have no need, but God composed the body, having given greater honor to the part which lacks it, that there should be no schism, no division in the body, that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Again, we're part of a body. And that's cool because we get to pray for one another. You know, I look forward to Saturday mornings, 8 o'clock. We have guys here that we take the needs before the Lord and just pray for individuals. It's a blessing. It's a privilege, right? Because we're all at different stages of life. We're going through all sorts of things, health-wise, job-wise, different things. And yet we get to lift those things up to the Lord because we know, you know, just like, and you see it, if something falls on your toe, what does your body do? It wraps, it coils around that toe, right? It wants to get, it comforts the toe. Anything it can do to do that, and we need to do that as being part of a body. So the whole body is needed for the health of one another. We pour into our lives. God pours into our lives so we can pour out into others. And then he goes on in Romans 8 to talk about the fact that we need to use the different gifts. In 1 Corinthians 12, it talks about the differing gifts, activities, and offices. I think it's offices. But it just talks about he's given us different roles in the body of Christ. And we need to use them properly. 1 Peter 4:10 says, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as God's, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Well, in this passage in Romans 12 talks about the idea that we need to use the gifts God has given us. And what I've learned as a believer is His calling is His enabling. He'll give you those gifts. Now, we all have natural gifts. And I'll just kind of talk about myself real quick. When God was kind of preparing me to become a teacher of the Word, one thing I do love is studying, digging through things. And so that's a gift that God was using in my life. It's a natural gift that I had. I could have gone to school for another 30 years. I should have become a doctor, right? Go to school in 10 more years. But God called me to be something different. And He uses that gift of studying to be prepared to go into God's Word to find out what it says. But there's another gift that I did not have. It's supernatural, and that's getting in front of you guys and speaking. It's nothing I ever wanted to do. I want to go back to my college and go to that speech class I took and ask those individuals if that Kyle Skinner who went up and prepared that speech, if you would ever put him in front of anybody else, that they would have to endure what he went through, what he just presented to the rest of the room, if you thought that was a good idea. And they would have said, absolutely not. I still remember how scared, well, it happens still to this day. I always joke around, but one thing I'm always praying about before I get up here is for the rapture. Every time. That Lord would take us home. And it's something we all need to be praying about, but not more than 2 minutes before I get up here. It's always, Lord, just take us home. I don't want to be up there. Right? But yet, what God's called me to do is to teach His Word. I love His Word. I want to teach it to you guys. I just wish it wouldn't be in this capacity, but He's called me to do it. And I don't want to displease my Father in heaven. And just like that, He's going to supernaturally give you gifts that He wants you to use. And the list of gifts are found there in 1 Corinthians 12, here in Romans 12, Ephesians 4, 1 Peter 4. And we'll just talk about the gifts that are contained here in Romans 12. And the first gift he talks about is prophecy. And prophecy just means what we learn from the Old Testament. It's to foretell the future. That's what the Old Testament prophets did. But it also means to foretell God's heart. We see that in John the Baptist. That's what he did. He foretell. He just told God's heart on a situation. We actually have it defined in 1 Corinthians 14. It says, but he who prophesies speaks edification. And edification is a cool word in Greek because it just means the idea of building up. It's building something up. Edification and exhortation. Just exhortation means to come alongside an individual. And comfort to men. That's what the gift of prophecy. In proportion to one's faith. And I've been... And sometimes this is just random where God wants you to speak a scripture into somebody's life, share a scripture with somebody. I still remember first time God asked me to do this at church. It was a time of sharing and he's wanted me to share this passage and I'll never forget the passage. It's in Haggai 1, 5 and 6. And he's like, you need to share this. And I'm like, I don't need to talk really. I don't want to share. That's how much I didn't want to ever use a microphone. They'd hand you a microphone and you'd have to say something. I'm like, no, that's not going to happen. And yet God's put it on my heart. You need to share this. You need to share this. And I did not. And it wasn't 5 minutes later that a lady got up and shared that same passage. And what God reminded me of is, you know, when I ask you to do something, you need to do it. And I went and told that lady, actually. I was like, I should have shared that, but you did. There was a pastor's conference, I think the first one where me and Wayne were at, that I was supposed to share something. Again, I was really bold and did not share it. And it was interesting because the next four or five things that were shared by these, it was a bunch of pastors. And I was like, I'm a young pastor. I'm not going to share anything to these guys. And it was interesting that it was Psalm 119, and everything that was shared fit that passage. I could have summed it up for him. We could have spent an hour less of sharing if I had just shared this passage. Can you imagine in a room of full pastors? We could talk forever. But I could have just shared that. But again, God was saying, you need to share. You need to speak when I ask you to do it. So if God lays something on your heart, share it with somebody. A verse. I know, having listened to many, many Bible studies, it'll be interesting that a pastor will share a verse that doesn't seem to fit with their Bible study. I'm like, why did he put that in there? But yet, that's all I'm thinking about the rest of the study. And it's because I know God's speaking to my heart and using the guy up there. He probably doesn't know why he put it there. I have verses like that. Like, I don't know why I shared that. But yet I know because God is bigger than my mouth, and he knows your heart, and he knows how to reach you. And he wants to declare truth to you. The next thing he talks about is ministry, serving, practicing truth. And I think about this church, how much goes into ministry. We have the sound people. We have the greeters. We have the prayer room, which is awesome. We have individuals in that room praying for the service right now. I think that's just awesome. I always wondered when I first came here, why are there people, they really don't want to hear the message. They just go crawl in that room. But they're praying for the service, which is incredible. We have children's ministry. Right? We've been expanding, and that's awesome. We have people involved in that, pour into those kids' lives. Because they'd be bored listening to me, right? But yet, they are taught at their level, God's Word. We have the food ministry, ESP on Thursday nights, and the baked goods and the goods you have after service that people are a part of. We have the bookstore that's open and available. We have worship. We have a worship team. We have decorating. Again, all these ministries. And those are things that you need to constantly be praying about. Should I be involved? Does God call me to be part of this body in those capacities? Right? Because we know from God's Word, and example by Christ in his ministry, that he says in Mark 10:45, the whole theme of the book of Mark is about being a servant. But he says, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life a ransom for many. That's what we are called as part of the bodies, is to serve one another in prayer. And I know you could do that at home, pray for the body. We need it, every one of us. So, ministry. Actually, the word, that's where we get the word deacons. That's the same word, deaconos or something like that in Greek. Teaching. And the Bible says in 1 Timothy 4:13, as Paul is instructing Timothy, he says, till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. As part of the idea of going out into the world and making disciples, there's a passage in 2 Timothy 2:2. It says that we are to take people alongside us and to disciple them. We're to teach one another. We all need that. And I know, you know, there's an office for it, right, as far as being a pastor. But we need to teach one another what God's Word says. In Acts 18, Aquila and Priscilla actually take Apollos, who is a well-spoken man. And what they said to him, they actually taught him. And it says, expounding the way of God more accurately. That's what they did with Apollos. They expounded the way of God more accurately. We teach people what God's word says. We're called to do that. Exhorts. And when I think of each one of these giftings, and these gifts, or these activities, I always have a picture of individuals that have been influential in my life. Exhortation. I have a guy I think about all the time. He'd just come into my office, you know, maybe once a week, once every 2 weeks, and just share with me and encourage me. And what I learned as a junior high pastor, I did not expect it from the junior hires. No, none came up there ever and said, hey, great. Well, they occasionally they would, but great sermon, Kyle. Thank you for being my teacher. You didn't hear that from them. You would hear from their parents. They would come and tell you they thank you, right? But yet God put this individual in my life, and he would come in once every two. And I don't really need a pat on the back. I'm not one of those individuals, a lot of that. But it's good to hear occasionally, right? Like each and every one of us. I know some of us need it more than others. And maybe you're that individual that needs to go around and share and encourage another brother or sister, right? And again, that word exhort means to come alongside. Doesn't mean to beat up, right? Well, I see the sin in your life. You need to fix it, kind of idea. Of course, as good brothers and sisters, you need to do that, but do it in a loving way. And it goes on to talk about the gift of giving with liberality. That means be genuine about your gifting, your giving. Again, another individual I think about. You know, if there was a need out there, he answered it. You know, and God blessed that individual. The Bible says we need to give hilariously, right? Right, and that could mean with our money. That does mean with our money, but it also means with our time. We need to be genuine about it. And really, the individual that's spoken most about in giving gave what amounts to 2 pennies in the offering, right? The lady who gave 2 mites, it says, and she gave out of not her abundance, but she gave out of her lifestyle. She gave out what she could. And she's recognized. Mark, in 2 Gospels, Mark 12:42 is where she's recognized. And we just need to give. And, we need to give. No. If you have that gift, you know those individuals, and that's what you're called to do, you need to be part of that. Right? And then it goes on to talk about those who lead. If you have the gift of leading, one, you'll know it because if you're leading and nobody's following, maybe not your gifting. Right? If you're leading yourself around the room, there's a joke there, I know it, but that maybe not your gifting. But those who lead, or those who are called to lead, need to do it with diligence. And that's an intense effort and determination. The Bible often compares us to sheep. Sheep are not driven, they're led. Right? And I've heard this from people who have sheep. You can't just poke them in the bottom. They'd look at you like, what are you doing to me? They need to be led. And what we've learned, and what's a huge saying around Calvary is sheep beget sheep. Right? If you take care of the people, if the body takes care of itself, if it's fed, if it's water, if it's safe, it's the idea that they'll bring other people to hear the gospel, to hear God's word. And we need to lead with diligence. Right. And service is carried out for the benefit of others. Again, I'm reminded of an individual I learned this from when I went on my first mission trip to Mexico. I had a good buddy. He's a pastor over in the Spokane area. His name's Bart. And what I learned from him is just his diligence to lead. But what was interesting is not only did he lead the high school group that was with him, right, the 30 high school kids, but even the elderly people and the other people would look for him for leadership. And so he showed me that, you know, you need to be diligent with both the younger and the older, and just do the job that God's called you to do. And the last one, mercy. And that's the idea of helping the afflicted with cheerfulness. And that's like hilarious abandon is the idea. And we need to have compassion for those who fall short, because we all fall short. And that means the hungry, the sick, the aging, right? And people are gifted with those. It's awesome to see. And if you have that gift, use it. Again, that's what he's talking about in this passage. As part of a body, you need to use these gifts that God has given to you. So in summary, our response to his grace, to understanding that we as believers, by his unmerited favor, we get to be part of his body. And because of that, we're not to be puffed up. Right? The Bible says, knowledge puffs up, love edifies. But we need to use the various gifts, activities, the giftings that God has equipped us with to serve and build up the body of Christ. And again, if you think about it, you know, God's plan, you would never in a million years just put what he puts together in his body. But he uses these individuals, this called out group, to be a light in the community. Thank goodness for local churches and the fact that they build up a believers to share the heart of God. And I think about in Paul, when he goes through all the things that he went through. And you guys know the list. It's 2 Corinthians 11. He goes through all the ministry trials that he had. And there are many. And when I go through that list, I'm just like, when would I give up? Because there's a lot of things that he goes through. And yet God got him through all those things. But what kept him up at night? It says, what comes upon me daily is my deep concern for the churches. Because he knows that's what God uses. And so he wants a healthy body. And that's a healthy body that serves one another, loves one another, understands we come from different backgrounds. But we're called to do those things in order to be in the community, to affect the community for change, to show them Christ. That's our job. And so, if you're an individual here that's not part of that body, the Bible says it's clear. You call on the name of the Lord, you're saved. And from salvation, what God does is puts you into the body. It says that in 1 Corinthians 12. I read the passage. 1 Corinthians 12:13. He baptizes you. That's the idea of putting you all in. Putting you into the body of Christ. Right? Because that body needs you. You may not think it, but that's how he's created us, right? To be part of a body. Body needs each and every individual. And if you're that individual who hasn't made that commitment, Romans is a good book because it teaches you what you need to do, right? First three chapters talks about you need to recognize that you're a sinner. You need to recognize that there's condemnation. Right, there's a standard that God has, and it's perfection. And what he shows you is that not one of us is perfect, but there is one who was. And what he did is he went to the cross. And that's 4 and 5, talks about the fact that he went to the cross for each and every one of us. He'll justify us because what we could not do, he did on our behalf. Gives us his righteousness. So when we come before God, he sees Christ and his life, and we're found not guilty. And then 6 through 8, chapter 6 through 8, what God does is make us more like him, makes us more like Jesus. And then 9 through 11, he talks about the Jews and the fact that he remains faithful. Even though people in general that has basically not been going after the will of God, yet he's faithful to return to that. He's going to restore Israel. And all it, again, points to God's faithfulness. And as we get into chapters 12, again, through 16, he wants us to respond. Like I said, if you're not part of that body, it's easy. In Romans 10, it says, for those who call on the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. He wants you part of that body. The body's hurting without you. He wants you. He wants you. And if you have not made that decision, as I pray, as I end service, I would just ask that you would call on the name of the Lord. And he'll save you. What he shows throughout his word, that he cannot lie. He's faithful. And he shows it through prophecy. He's shown it through time. And he'll save anybody willing to come to him. Because he died for each and every one of us. And he wants you to be part of a body. He wants you to be part of his body. That's how he's designed you. With that, for those of us who are following Christ and are baptized in that body, he wants you to use your gifts. He wants you to serve. So just be praying to him. And I know most of you guys do in some type of capacity, right? But just always be going before the Lord. Like, Lord, what do you have for me? What do you want me? How do you want me to be part of this body? As I'm praying again, ask the Lord to show you and reveal out to you. So let's close in prayer. Lord, again, thank you for your word. Thank you for this body of believers. Thank you for those who have not called on your name, but I know you want them. I know that because your word says you desire that none should perish. You're willing. You were willing, and you proved it by what you did on the cross for each and every one of us. It says in Romans 5 that you demonstrated your love for us, that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. You did what was impossible for us to do, to live a perfect life. You lived it for us so that we could not only have heaven and spend eternity with you, but have salvation today. Lord, thank you for that. And if there's anyone here that has not made that call, Lord, I just ask that you would do that for them, that they would recognize that they need you. There's a reason you're called a Savior, because we need saved. Lord, that they'd recognize, that they would repent, that they would change their mind. It just means a change of mind. And you do that for us, Lord. And that they would receive you. And that's just asking you to come into their lives. Lord, I would ask that if there's anyone here this morning that would want that, that they would do that, Lord. And it's just by calling on your name. I'd ask that you would give them that boldness to call on your name. And for us others, Lord, who are believers, Lord, but you're calling us to be part of this body. You're calling us to serve one another. Respond to the salvation that you've given us. Lord, show us what you want us to be doing, that we'd go after your will, to demonstrate your will in this world. Be part of the body. Lord, again, thank you for your word. Lord, for those, real quick, Lord, for those who have not called on your name, Lord, I just ask that you would give them the boldness to do that. Lord, again, thank you for your word. The Bible says if you call on the name of the Lord, you shall be saved. Thank you for that promise. Lord, just ask that you would again be speaking to each and every one of us this morning as we've gone through your word. Just ask that you would bless the rest of the day. And ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.